Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who today on Twitter has tweeted a picture of him holding a gigantic stone and looking delighted. It's Richard Herring. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I've got a bit of a frog in my throat. I'm going to run through it and see if it goes away. Though I was talking to Neil Kinnock at the at the Sheffield rally on the 1st of April 1992, and he calls it Rehlespa, so it's, and he also said, "We're all right, we're all right, we're all right." That's what he also said. People mainly remember that from that. That. Anyway, yes, I've been doing more of my stone clearing. I don't know if you all have been following this. I'm probably going to turn this into a separate podcast because some people don't like enjoy this material as much. It's a running theme through this series. There's a field near me where I live. I walk my dog around. It's very stony. I've started taking the stones off the field and creating works of art. It's a work of art, really. It's a sort of transgressive art thing that I like to do. I'm trying to build a wall around the edge of the field. It's a massive field, I have to say, and there are a lot of stones. I think I can do it in the next 40 or 50 years. Don't laugh at me. But this week, first of all, today I found an iceberg stone. I don't need to tell you what that is. That is a stone that doesn't look that big when you go to get it, but then you find it. It's underneath the ground. It was as big as my baby's head. And there's a photo of me on Twitter looking insane, holding it. Because people take photos of themselves and they go fishing, don't they? They get a big fish. So why shouldn't a man who collects stones proudly show a photo? What's the difference? No difference is the difference. But somebody in my village has taken against my stones. I've made quite a lot of cairns. There's a beginnings of a wall in one corner. And someone, admittedly, is right outside their back gate that goes onto the field. They've kicked it all over. But that's okay, you know, because I'm an artist. In that respect, Van Gogh, when he was out in the sunflower fields, people probably were throwing tomatoes at him. When they go, fuck off, Van Gogh, what are you doing? Leave those sunflowers alone. Expect old Michelangelo, Angelo, especially when he was carving David, people were chipping bits of that off, weren't they? It's just the one. It's my favourite, Michelangelo, he's the best. First name's Michael, second name Angelo. That is. He was also in the Turtles, wasn't he? So he had a varied career. He's done all right. We're all right. We're all right. So that's my week. That's my week. Oh, except like it's because it's cold now. It's winter. Do have to, and any stone clearers out there will know how you get down, and the stones are so cold in the ground. It's unbelievable. It's where life and death meet, and this is why it's a real. Like, you have to get there. When you feel those stones, you know that one day you too will be under the ground and as cold as those stones. But you're alive, and you touch them. You know your bones will one day. But it's an amazing experience. So. Do give it a go if you haven't. I'm not crazy, it's fine. So please welcome my guest this evening. We've only got one guest. There's only one podcast each week, as we know. Everyone knows that. He's probably best known, according to Wikipedia, I think he might have put this on just before this morning, knowing that I would see it and then introduce him as it, and it isn't true. He's probably best known as Bungle in... Not what you're thinking. It's in 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps. 2002. Could that be him for real? Let's find out, ladies and gentlemen. It's Joe Lycett. Come in, sit down. Welcome back.
Hello, everyone. I didn't put that on there. That's not me.
Is it true that you were Bungle?
It's absolutely 100% true.
Is it?
I was Bungle in 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, but it got cut in the edit. And I was furious about it, but thank you for reminding me. No, I don't know who's done that. Wikipedia's a weird thing, isn't it? Because people just decide what they want you to be on it, and then they put it on there and nobody really checks.
Yeah. Citation needed.
Have you had any curious things?
Oh, yeah, all sorts of things. There was something on this week about Stuart Lee saying I was a shagger, which is true. I don't know if he said it, but someone...
You've had sex.
I have shagged.
How was it? Tell me.
It was quite... The first time, not very good.
No.
And then that's the only time I've done it. I've just done it once.
And who was that with?
It was with Stuart Lee. So...
Well, I think probably I found the root of your problem. I imagine Stuart to be a selfish and shit lover.
Yes.
I imagine he intellectualises it too much, like all fucking things. And actually, you just want a hand job.
Yeah. Well, weirdly enough, I did tell you backstage I'd never have a hand job off a man, didn't I? That was one of our backstage chats.
Did you? I don't remember it.
But Stuart Lee did attempt to masturbate me with the hand of a 100-year-old ventriloquist dummy. Of course he did.
Yes, so I remember this very vividly. Yeah. So, I mean, people in the room might not know that I'm the number one fan of the Richard Herring Leicester Square Theatre podcast.
That's very nice.
There might be people in the room that disagree with that, and that's probably because they've listened to all of them.
And, you know, and paid to come and see some of them.
And paid to come and see them, whereas I will do neither ever. But I listen to your podcast a lot, and I'm really thrilled to be on it again. I know last time I was on, I talked about how much I love the show and whatever. But this year, so I went to Italy for a while, and I hired a car, and I drove around Italy for a little bit, and I listened to loads of the show. I found it very soothing while I was on the motorways of Italy. That was before one of the bridges collapsed in Italy. Whether I would do it again, I don't know. But I love
I'd like
love
to
your...
think if you were on a collapsing bridge, you would be listening to my podcast and laughing, at least, as you went.
Yeah, Catherine Ryan delivering an anecdote as I tower to my death. I think it's a really fun podcast.
Thank you.
And I'm really thrilled to be on it, and I have thoughts.
Oh, good. It's welcome. It's lovely to have you back, I have to say.
You don't want to hear my thoughts?
Yeah, go on. We can get straight into that. Yes, go on then.
Sometimes it becomes tired. I feel sometimes... No, I'm really enjoying that. I got silly then. I felt really silly. No, it's really good. You're really... I mean, what a level of guests you get. You've really lowered yourself
amazing.
For old Joe Lycett, but I'm thrilled to be here.
No, it's fantastic to have you. It's been lovely. It's a very fun thing for me to do, and nearly always it's nice, nearly always good.
Yeah. How are you feeling that this one might go?
I've given there's a few...
You're cracking
open
a beer.
I'm going to have a...
Desperately.
You're welcome to have a beer. I know you're drinking wine.
No, I'm on the white wine this evening.
I'm back to Beer 52.
Cheers.
If you want 8 of these yourselves at home, go to beer52.com/rehellastipper.
Look all these things? There's a book here by Richard Herring.
There's all sorts of things. Just keep them around just, you know, in case people things get boring.
Emergency questions.
I can just...
Oh, let's ask one. Let's go to the first one. What is your favourite colour? 209.
What a good question. Orange. And that's why that book's orange.
Oh, my God, he knows his shirt.
I like orange because I used to... The reason I chose orange as my favourite colour as a kid was because I liked sweets that were orange, and I liked sweets. My daughter's the same. She loves sweets. I guess it's just
a kid
thing.
How old is your daughter now?
She's like 3.5.
And how's that going?
It's good. It's good fun. This morning she said she saw the Apple logo on the back of her phone, and she was debating why there was a hole in the apple, and she decided it was because an ant had eaten the bit out of the apple.
That's stupid, adorable. What would you say to her if she asked, why can't we live forever?
I don't think she's quite grasped. She's obsessed with death, as I think, again, kids are. I was obsessed with death.
But any child of Richard Herring would be.
No, it could come at any moment. It's a shame. It's a shame that you can't live. Once you've procreated, especially, you sort of think it'd be nice to hang around at least to see how they got on, and then they'll have more kids, and then you don't want to give up the story, do you? So it's a shame. Yeah. God's a fucking idiot. Why would someone who is immortal create mortality? That is my question to you. That is the more interesting question. So he was immortal, God. Mm. He'd always been. He always will be. No, nothing lived or died. You think, I'm going to make some stuff, but it's not going to be like me. It's going to die. Why would he do that, Joe?
I don't know. There's lots of questions like that baffle me all the time. So I'm interested in the concept of nothingness at the minute. So I'm reading a book about Buddhism, and one of the sort of big things in Buddhism is about accepting that you are not self, basically, that you don't exist in some ways. In lots of ways, the Buddhists...
That's
teaching,
not a good way to sell books, is it?
That it's is, not.
So you don't exist.
Yeah. But I'm really interested in the concept of nothingness, because if nothingness is a thing, then you still have... It's still a concept. It still exists in the concept of it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so if you think of nothingness as an absence of matter and ideas and the laws of physics, all of that, it still exists within the framework of the idea of nothingness. So nothingness can't possibly exist because it's an idea, even though it encases something that is nothing. Isn't that interesting and lovely for your podcast?
Yeah. We got in quite serious quite quickly.
Yeah, I've been on the wine.
Yeah. I don't think it's true. But it's, if you went out clearing stones from fields, you'd get an idea of death. So once you've got your fingers in the ground's so cold, Joe.
Yeah.
And you don't realise how cold the universe is until you put your hand in a field in winter.
You don't realise how cold the universe is.
That's part of the universe, isn't it? The field, in a way, is the universe in a microcosm of the universe.
Yes.
And you put your hand in, you realise, God, that's it. And this field has been in, these stones have been here for a long time.
Mm.
And we're here for a fleeting second. We're warm and alive, but we'll be dead soon.
But please buy the Richard Herring Emergency Questions book with your time.
There's some funny ones. Buy the new one. Don't buy the new one.
God, fuck this old shit.
Yes. Chuck that out.
God, it's terrible paper quality. Actually, no, I prefer the... Is that been published by a proper author?
Published by a proper
publisher.
Yes, Sphere Publishing.
That's the thing, isn't it, you see? You get a proper publisher and they go for shitty old paper. With this, this is obviously a lovely uncoated stock. That's what it's known as, this thing. I used to be a graphic designer.
Did you?
That's really lovely. Whereas they throw any old shit out like that. Let me have a look at that
one. This was a Kickstarter award, and Chris Evans, not that one, when he does the Kickstarter awards, as you'll find if you've got your... I'm 50 stuff through. There's a beautiful bag saying a bag for life. There's, if you've done the Kickstarter for the Rehelesipa, there's an amazing Rubik's Cube that is much better quality than it needs to be, I have to say. Is it broken already?
As you can just hear, the binding on it isn't perfect.
Okay.
Like, it feels... smells cheap.
Yeah.
Whereas this... beautiful, very nice. And that was Go Faster Stripe, and they're people that care about shit. Whereas, who's this? Sphere? Who's the fuck's heard of Sphere? Are they here tonight?
Maybe, you never know. This will go out, though, into the world, and they probably won't be that happy about it.
They're an imprint of Little Brown Book Group.
Yeah.
Now, what's that? So I tried to troll a book group recently.
Did you?
Because... So there was a book that was released, which is like 1,000 jokes or something like that. And all of the jokes in there are from comedians who I know, basically.
Right.
And none of them were credited. And none of them were obviously being paid for the book, the jokes that they'd yep. and stolen from them, essentially, for that book. So I pitched to that company my own joke book, and they were obviously very interested because I'm Jay Lycett off the television.
Absolutely.
So I said, I've got an idea for a book of loads of jokes. And they're like, yeah, lovely, great, send us a pitch. So I sent them a pitch and some sample chapters. And in those sample chapters was literally a copy and paste of their book that they'd already got yeah. published. And they were like, yeah, we're really interested. how much do you want? And I went in really high, like 7 million or something stupid. And they went, oh, well, actually, that's not for us, which is annoying because I really wanted to get I essentially wanted to publish a book of third-hand jokes that they'd stolen from people like Gary Delaney and Tim yeah. Vine and all these brilliant comics. And they just, nobody can do anything because we're comics, aren't we?
How do you feel that Gary Delaney and Tim Vine would feel if you put out a book that was there of their jokes?
I feel if I'd explained the logic of why I'd done it, they would appreciate yes. it. And I probably would have given them the money, but more likely gone to the south of France, had a lovely time.
Fair enough. Well, it's quite interesting because you have this skittish sort of playing with the world. In fact, you do the things that most comedians do as a way to procrastinate away from working, which is going on Twitter and being naughty.
Yeah.
And you've turned that into your main source of income.
which is actually
very impressive.
It's really silly. I don't know how I've managed it, really, but people seem to really engage with it, and I'm glad because I've got nothing else.
Well, I think it's what a comedian. There's lots of things comedians should be, but it's one of the things that is good for a comedian to be, is to be like a fly in the ointment.
Yeah.
And just doing things. I mean, it's not, most of them are for no real reason. It's not, I mean, I saw, remember one of your reviews was saying, you know, Mark Thomas will do big stunts for big political reasons. And not many of yours have real any real point to them beyond let's have a go at someone who's been a bit of a dick.
No, I wouldn't agree with that, Richard. Okay. But thank you for your input.
It as a compliment. I don't, because it's just, it's that fly in the ointment thing. It's just being a spanner in the works and
yeah.
dicking around for the fun of it, right? I don't
go heavy like Mark Thomas does, and I think Mark Thomas is absolutely amazing, extraordinary, and rightly very political. And I don't consider myself to be a political comedian because I don't really know who's right, so I don't want to put my sort of opinion into the ring because sure. I don't know.
But again, I think that's something a comedian possibly should be as well. I mean, again, there's no definitions of what comedians have to be.
Yeah.
But a comedian should be taking the piss out of everything and everyone.
Yeah.
And so the minute you've nailed your colours to a mast on a subject, then it's quite difficult to do that.
It is, absolutely. So I still will nail my colours to the mast on certain things. So in my current show, I have a whole thing about trying to destroy the career of Tom Daley because he was sponsored by Barclays to go to Gay Pride last year and had loads of Barclays branding all over him or whatever, and I felt like, cool, go to Pride and publicise that as much as possible, but to be sponsored by them and to be paid to go to a political event, which Pride is, the first one was a riot, to me is the equivalent of going Black Lives Matter with Tesco. You're not really on board with the idea, I don't think, if you're being sponsored by them. So I have a whole thing in that. So that is a big idea that I am challenging.
Sure.
But I also just slag off my friends' kids as well, which is, not, you know, they have no political beliefs. Well, I feel they're Brexiteers, but they have no real, there's no real reason to slag them off other than that I found them irksome and I'm difficult with children.
And, you know, getting in touch. I mean, I used to do this when I was a student where you'd find out you could get some vouchers off companies if you made spurious complaints about stuff.
Yeah.
But then you do sort of funny, stupid complaints. And I spent so much time. I don't know if I talked to you about this last time. I think I've mentioned it before. But I spent a long time writing this very long letter from a mad old person about how, I think it was Golden Wonder said they were Britain's noisiest crisps. And then he was debating how they'd work that out.
Yes, I love this sort of shit. Yeah.
So I wrote a long, and like I said, I was going to send it to That's Life, which dates it, about how you say Golden Wonder of Britain's noisiest crisps, sir, but I've heard noisier whispers. It was that kind of terrible, torturous, really long, long poem.
Lovely.
And got £2 of free crisp vouchers and was delighted. But
yeah.
You know, if I'd just gone and done a job that day, I could have probably made £100 for all the crisps I wanted.
No, that is very much my vibe. Yeah. Like any claims like that, I'm happy to sort of pick apart. And I do also, if somebody sends, I get quite a lot these days of messages on Instagram from people sort of claiming, I mean, they're fake accounts essentially, just sort of girls in bikinis being like, hey. And then you look and they've got two followers and they've been on Instagram for a day. And I will often reply to that. I like to convince them that I'm trapped in a well. that's my new thing. So I'll be like very like chill and a bit flirty. And then when they get really down to the nitty gritty of like, hey, why don't you click on this link? I'll be like, I can't because I'm trapped down a well.
Well, you collected these in this fabulous book. It's been out for a little while. A
few years now.
It's buttered. Yes, I got it for Christmas a couple of years ago from my wife, who's a big fan of yours.
Oh, Katie Wilkins.
Yeah, Katie Wilkins.
She's a great... Oh, do you call her Katie Herring now?
I call her Katie Wilkins.
Mm.
Don't let her get too settled in the role. Just in case. Also, she sort of reluctantly took my name. So oh. I don't want to labour the point too much.
So like on all the documents, yeah. She's Katie Herring.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but in her working life, well, she's got lots of different. She's a children's author. She's called Catherine Wilkins there. When she's a comedian, she's called Katie Wilkins.
Right.
That sort of is a trick to stop people realising that's the same person.
Yeah.
So she's just
saying this
trouble.
Publicly on your podcast.
it's a very
might
clever
spoil
trick.
That in some ways.
No one could see through that disguise.
No, of course.
But yes, I've been rereading it. There's lots of great fun stuff in it. I love the. Did you really? So I never believe anything you say.
Why not?
Because I just don't trust you. Why? Because all the things.
I love you, Richard.
All these things. That's why you love me so much. I can't trust somebody.
You can't look me in the eye because you know it's true.
I love you too. You're wonderful. You worked at an Aztec mini golf place.
Yes.
Is that true?
That is true.
Why was it Aztec mini golf?
Fuck knows. It was in, I can tell you, it's still there, Star City, Birmingham.
Yeah.
I think it's called Adventure Island Mini Golf, Star City.
Okay.
And I worked there, I don't know, on and off for about a year. And I would basically give the golf clubs out and the balls and work on the tiki hut where they would do little cocktails and beers.
Oh, that's nice.
As you pop round.
For mini golf, though, I mean, isn't it for kids mini golf?
Yeah, but the parents want to get pissed and all that. So, like, I would provide that service.
With cocktails while their kids are playing mini golf, they're getting pissed at. I mean, it's a good idea.
It is a good idea.
I'm going to go there.
Well, there's a new one in Birmingham which is called Ghetto Golf, and you can just take beers around with you. Like, it's encouraged. You just get totally shit-faced. So that's the new thing. But that was... back in the day when I was working at the Mini Adventure Island Mini Golf Star City. And yes, it was a perfectly fine little job. I enjoyed it. I quite liked the little jobs I had. I did that and I worked in a theatre. I worked in a couple of theatres selling ice creams and working on the bar.
Yeah.
I liked all those jobs. In the mini golf, the manager there was a little bit nervous about, for some reason, about terrorism.
Yeah.
and thought that there might be a terrorist attack. So we had to do occasional sort of, what do you call it, drills. Thank you so much to the voice in the darkness. And we had to do drills. And you normally say in, like, any of these establishments, like when I worked in the theatre, if there's a fire, I'm sure it's the same in the Leicester Square Theatre, rather than say over the radio, there's a fire on fucking stage or whatever, you say, Mr. Sands is on stage, or something of that ilk. But the people who worked in mini golf didn't really understand... metaphors or similes. And so we had to say, Mr. Bomb is on hole number four. So we had a few drills where we had to do that, and then the people in mini golf in Birmingham, so, you know, it'd be that sort of like, Mr. Bomb's on hole number four. And you get that, and you go and check number four, and then you go, false alarm, and then that was it.
Yeah. It's weird that with that Mr. Sands, because it's so well. I mean, I know it from the theatre, but it's kind of, you hear it in other places. You go, oh shit, there's a fire somewhere.
Yeah,
because it's
everyone
so well
knows
known.
It. Yeah, yeah. So, well, I wonder whether they've changed it now. Yeah. Whether that's like, but I think still
double bluff
some places,
with Mr. Bomb, Mr. Huge Fire,
Mr. Yeah.
No one would suspect that.
No, they wouldn't.
They would think it's...
Mr. Richard Herring.
Wow.
Is on stage.
Yeah.
And you are on fire tonight, darling.
That would clear. That would clear the theatre.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Next question.
Next question. I might go on to an emergency question in a second.
I'd love an emergency question. I love this podcast. Oh, no,
right.
You're not going to let
me. Well, this one's... I think you'll be able to answer this question. I've got fed up with the Daily Express, who ask women questions they wouldn't ask men, so I've started to ask men.
Oh, yeah, and the Daily Express also will take, like, a tiny little nugget of something that's happened on television and turn it into a full article.
Yes, well...
So I hosted Sunday Brunch once, and I did some little cursory joke about Simon Rimmer being dead or something like that. I can't even remember what it was. And they turned it into this big comedian slams Simon Rimmer and says he's dead or whatever the article was. And it's just some prick who's got nothing going on in their lives who's been paid a tenner to write an article for the Express.
Yeah, well, it happens a lot with The Chase, which we'll talk to Jenny Ryan about that exact thing, I think, in the next podcast.
Because they're
obsessed with it.
And that'll happen
Chase.
Next week.
Yeah, next week. Though we're going to talk about that. And how the Express are just obsessed with turning fairly trivial incidents into massive. Oh, Bradley Walsh went insane.
That is the press, but when you're sort of in it and you've done the show and you go like, oh, it's just a tiny little joke, you kind of realise, you go like, oh, fuck, like there are people watching everything you do.
Yeah.
Fine, it's the tiniest little bit. And it's interesting when they go back through things like, I've been obsessed with the whole Sean Walsh on Strictly thing, and they go back through all of his material of stuff that he's done on shows like years ago, and you're like, he joked about shagging like 10 years ago. And they use that, and you go like, well, obviously, he's a comic, and I do find it fascinating.
It is. You've got to create so much stuff that it's too much work for them to go through. All.
Yeah.
That's what I've done. So if they went through it, they'd find a fuck of a lot of stuff. But, I mean, who could be bothered? Who could be bothered? Well, this is a question the Daily Express asks women, and I'm going to ask it to you. And
yes.
This is, but it feels quite apt for you. What's your beauty secret? All women get asked that question, regardless of whether they're interested in beauty or that's... But what is your beauty secret, would you say, Joe Lycett?
I would say very expensive creams.
Really? It is a secret, then.
Only because I was gifted some, because I'm in show business. What was I doing? The Great British Sewing Bee.
Oh, yes.
Ooh. And because it was a full series and whatever, Sisley. Am I allowed to... that sounds like I'm endorsing them
you
as a
You can say
brand.
Anything you like.
No, I don't want to endorse a brand.
Okay.
Sisley are wankers and they kill kids. There you go. It's like now it's halfway, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's halfway. They might come back from their cream.
Yes.
Now after you've done this.
Maybe that's why my skin is so wonderful, because it's used from the dead children that they've murdered to put into their cream, which they definitely do, and I will agree to it in court. Fuck.
Daily Express has got a new article.
Certainly have. Comedian kills kids by accident by wearing Sisley cream. I've started using Sisley cream. I turned 30 this year and this cream like came. And I don't buy anything like that normally, but the makeup girl put it on me and I think my skin is a lot better.
Yeah, I went through a period of putting those anti-aging things on in my 30s.
Mm. Your skin is very good.
It is good, though,
for an 8-year-old man. I love you, Richard.
I love you, too. OK, this is... Oh, this is all right. I thought this was going to be a weird one, but this isn't weird.
Nothing's weird between
what
us.
What is the...
What Take your top off.
What is the... I've got an idea. You'd be good in this, actually. You don't do that much acting, but you could be...
No, never. I auditioned for Men in Black 3. Did not you? Sure I'm allowed to say that.
Okay.
But I didn't get it.
Okay.
And they kill kids.
You could be in... I've got an idea for a sitcom called Horny Time Traveller, in which... just a man or a woman goes back in time and just to fuck famous people from the past and fails. That's the comedy element, otherwise it would be a drama. I might pitch both. But this comes out of that. What is the lamest modern day item that you, if you took it back in time to, say, the Middle Ages, would lead you to be ruler of the world? What was the worst thing you could take from the modern day back to the Middle Ages that would impress the Middle Age people so much that they would decide you were the king of the world?
That's interesting, because I often think about, like, my late grandmother. You know, if I went back in time and I showed her the iPhone and all the things you could do on that, how amazing that would be and how in awe she would be of that.
She would.
Whether she'd be so
not
in awe...
Not just her, though. I mean, everyone would be, not just you.
I think she'd be confused by it. She was always confused by any technology, so she'd be like, lovely. and then, you know, and then die, as she did.
An iPhone would be quite a lame thing to take back because you wouldn't be able to charge it and you wouldn't be able to use it. So it would just be a brick that lit up for a bit and then stopped lighting up.
I think you've nailed it. You'd take back a USB charger. But this is very powerful because we all need one at all times, essentially.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, actually. The Nintendo Switch, I think they'd find a bit... interesting, wouldn't
it? I mean, that's good, though. I think they'd be impressed by, like, a coat hanger or something.
Is that what you're thinking?
You could take a coat hanger back and go, look at that. They go, how do you fashion this?
Oh, how far back are we going?
Like, Middle Ages.
Middle Ages. So like what have they got back then?
Well, not a lot.
Yeah.
Just some mud. Mainly some...
bottled water.
You could take bottled water back.
They'd think that's silly, wouldn't they?
They would love that.
Why?
Well, they drank beer because the water was so bad. That's why everyone was drunk in the Middle Ages.
Oh, God.
It was the best time.
I feel like I've really failed you on this question.
No, it's a difficult question. I mean, in a way, it's a stupid question.
No, none of the questions you ever ask on this show are stupid. Okay. And don't you ever think that. And if you ever think that, call me immediately.
Okay.
When you interview anyone, can I just come and sort of sit sort of just off...
Yeah.
And just sort of stroke you whenever you... Like, I feel that it's going badly. Because there are times, like, when I was driving around Italy, I thought, Richard's struggling here.
Yeah.
And all he needs is a little cuddle.
A little cuddle would help sometimes. But to be honest, some of them, just a little sleep would be enough.
Beautiful, yeah.
So if you could just sit there and just take it... But it was more when my son had just been born.
Yeah, that's right.
It was all right when my daughter was born, but when there were two of them, I was very tired through the second one of some of those. Mm. I mean, like, I don't even know who I talk to half the time.
Are there any that you could say now that you really didn't enjoy?
There are a couple...
Go on, then.
Usually when the guest is drinking quite a lot. I didn't enjoy the second Stuart Lee episode very much.
Nobody enjoys Stuart Lee.
I'll ask you an emergency question. Look, it's a good question. This is for a date. This is a good question for you. I bet you've never been asked this.
Yes.
Do you have a favourite joke?
Oh, fuck, I was asked this question. Well, in a way, I'm not sure I'm allowed to talk about this, though. I'll have to use an alias.
Use an alias for yourself.
No, not for myself.
Oh, okay.
The person.
I was saying, the people would see through that.
Oh, Jisert. I did a show with an octogenarian.
Okay.
Chef.
Okay.
Female.
Okay.
Hairy Jerry might be... Her name might rhyme with that. It's not gone out yet. I don't know whether they'll put it out after what happened. We were cooking a chicken pie and we were making pastry. And there was self-raising flour involved in the pastry. And there's a book, the joke in the book about self-raising flour. I said, oh, that reminds me of a joke that I wrote, which is self-raising flour, I blame the parents. It's just a stupid little whatever joke. And she went, oh, you're a comedian. You must write a lot of jokes. And I said, yes, yeah, I do, yeah. And she said, oh, what sort of jokes... And I was like, there's none that I can tell you that are appropriate. And she said, oh, no, I love jokes. Tell us a joke. And I was racking my brains because I don't really write jokes. No, it's all sort of storytelling and what you've said, trolling people and whatever. The only joke that came to mind because I was making a chicken pie was misunderstood the meaning of jerk chicken and now I'm not allowed within 5 miles of any farm. And she laughed. So I was buoyed by that. And she said, oh, I like that. What does it mean? And I said, it's about wanking off a chicken. Because I was confident from the fact that she'd laughed. And the silence. And she just went, let's carry on with the pastry. And at the end of the shoot, the director said, anyone for jerk chicken? And that was with Mary Berry.
Was it Mary Berry? I was trying to work it out. Thought it could be Fanny Craddock. if she were still alive. Here's a good question for you. Have you ever caught a falling nun?
No.
I have. That's why it's a good question for me. So I came up with that because I have caught a falling nun.
It's niche.
But if you have, you've got a story to tell, haven't you? That's the thing. But if you haven't, you move on to the next one.
How many people do you think of people who are alive today have...
Let's do a sample. How many people... Shout out, there's 220 people in here tonight. Shout out if you've ever caught a falling nun. Four people. So, one in 50 times you're going to get, an amazing story about a nun falling over, jumping in,
are we
catching it.
Defining falling nuns, and also...
Well, a nun that is falling...
one or one that's falling from a height?
Any of those sets. That's why it's such a good question, because there's all those scenarios. There's the tripping ones, there's the ones falling from the ground.
Right, I just came out and I've not really, because the lights are so bright, I've not seen the audience. Yeah. So are we in a nunnery? Is that how this has occurred?
No. I was in Habitat in Hammersmith. It's not there anymore, don't go looking for it. And a nun...
I just added that to my to-do list. So.
A nun tripped on the stairs and I jumped in underneath her. She felt she was falling down, so I jumped in.
I love you so much, Richard.
Thank you. She was not very grateful.
Give me some more. I think we should do the whole book.
We could do the whole thing. It'd be interesting to try that on one occasion.
And this is that occasion.
Okay. Let's do Christmas. Christmas has just happened, as you know.
Oh, has it? Is that... It was a wonderful time of year.
If you could spend Christmas with any celebrity, who would it be, and how would you explain to them that why you were in their house?
Eamon Holmes. And I would explain to him clearly it was because I was there to glass him with a bottle of Chateauneuf du Pape.
Good old Eamon.
And nothing if not honest.
That's good. Okay, here's an emergency question, but I don't think I've asked anyone this question.
Yeah.
Some of these questions I don't remember writing and have never been said out loud. Knees and elbows seem flawed. I think we can all agree about that. What do you find most annoying about them and how would you improve them?
Right. Gosh, there's a lot to take in there.
I mean, I don't know why the person who wrote that question thinks that knees and elbows are flawed. I think they're pretty good. I guess because they can break easily and you can hurt them quite easily.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
But they help your legs.
I have broken my elbow. I broke my left elbow. I was doing a photo shoot. I mean, you can see now it's fully recovered. It's a little weaker than the right arm, but that's fine. But apparently the bone itself is a lot stronger because when they re-heal or whatever, they kind of get stronger. I did that. I was doing a photo shoot, and I kicked one leg into the air because I was showing off.
Yeah.
And then whilst that leg was in the air, I then kicked the other leg into the air. And then gravity did its old fucking thing, didn't it? And I landed on concrete and landed on the elbow, and all the people in the photo shoot made the noise that some of your audience members have made, which was, are you okay? A lot of that going on. And because you then go into shock, I was like, yeah, fine, totally fine, and carried on with the photo shoot for half an hour, and literally every photograph in the rest of that photo shoot is hilarious because it's just me being like, yeah, can't extend it at all, totally in distress, close to vomit. I've gone grey, pink, yellow, whatever. whatever colour, like really fucked up. So that elbow has betrayed me on that one occasion. No, I betrayed the elbow, actually, and I'm sorry about that, Martin. Knees, also I get problems with my left knee. These days, because I haven't started doing yoga, and that seems to have strengthened it out. But yeah, the right knee's fine, but yeah, the left knee does seem to sort of give me some jip.
Yeah, and you're young still.
And I am a young man.
Imagine when you're 50 like me, 51 I am now.
Yeah.
You're going to be in awful pain.
No, but I also... Yeah, I will be. No, I definitely will be.
If you were to live that long.
Yes. I know, I think it's unlikely. Yeah. I do think it's unlikely. So I do think, that knees are... Elbows are sort of less... I'm less worried about, but the knees will go. And if you remember in Baz Luhrmann's Sunscreen, which I take all advice from...
Yes, it's a good idea.
One of the lines in that is, be kind to your knees, you'll miss them when they're gone. Yeah. So have you been kind to yours?
Well, I've not really, no. I've got quite fat, which puts a bit of pressure on them. And I do quite a lot of running. When I'm not fat, I do a lot of running.
Here's another line from Baz Luhrmann. Okay. You are not as fat as you imagine.
Okay. Well, I am. I am. I'm a bit fatter than I imagined. The other day I got called in last minute to do this celebrity House of Something Games Hollywood quiz thing on Channel 5. I get all the big gigs at the last minute.
Yeah.
There was a bit where they had to do an action replay or something, and then they swung the TV around for us to look at it, and I could see it was on TV, and I go, who's that really fat bloke on our team?
Here's another line from that.
Yeah.
Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Fair enough.
That's true. Do you know the whole song?
Yeah, I do.
Let's do the whole thing.
I'll try my best.
Okay.
It's really fucking long. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to do the whole song, am I? Lovely bits in that, though. Like, I listen to it sort of every sort of 3 years and go like, oh, actually, it's all there, isn't it? Things like... don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, but in the end, it's only with yourself.
That is true.
Stuart Lee, tell me about him.
It's true. I subscribe to that. You can only compete with yourself. It's the whole ethos of me, one versus me, two.
I know,
snooker.
That was hurtful to say the Stuart Lee thing, and I take it back. I've had a wine.
I'd rather be me than him.
Well, this is it. I get very jealous of Jack Whitehall.
Do you?
Because
Did you support Jack Whitehall?
I used to support him, and I also went to university at the same time, and he was the first person I met that got really famous. And it is really hard when you're sort of worked with somebody and you've been around somebody who gets, like, wildly famous. You get really like, oh, that would be fun, wouldn't it? And really loads of respect and all of that. And then the relationship gets really sort of weird and sort of, yeah. And I've never told Jack about that, but I do, like, occasionally just go like, oh, I'd like to do that. At most things that he's done, because he's done everything, hasn't he? But he's
mainly had sex with Gemma Chan.
That's the main thing.
That's the main thing I'm jealous of. Yes.
I met Gemma Chan a couple of times. She's very nice.
Yes,
never had sex with her though, and I was furious.
I just want to have sex with a robot of her. I want to make it very clear for my wife's listening.
Hello, Katie. Yeah, so, I apologise for being hurtful. I just said it in the moment.
It's not hurtful.
But it's not hurtful.
I mean, also, I've worked with Steve Coogan, who's done a lot better than Stuart Lee. So, you know, if I was going to be jealous of anyone... I think, you know, there's people I look at who are doing more what I would like to be doing. I think but I'm still not... I think as you get older, I think it is... Once you're past 40 and then heading down the hill to death... you sort of realise what's more. You know, I used to obsess about things like that, and be jealous of people, and worried about how things were going, and trying to work out why. Because it's so confusing, life, and this is why people get starting to believe that outside forces are responsible for their lives not being that great, or you know, they think they're trying to blame anyone but themselves. Most of the things that are going wrong for you or not working for you will be because of you for some reason.
You might not know.
And B, there are more. You know, there are more important things.
Yeah.
Than you know, being the first openly gay character in a Disney film, which is what Jack Whitehall's doing now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Jack Whitehall. Well, he's about to do it. Yeah, he's about to do
it. He's filmed it. Yeah, he's filmed it already.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And that's the thing, most of the time I don't feel jealous of him. I feel really thrilled for him because he's so talented and he works fucking hard. But then there are just occasionally times where I go like... oh, fucking hell, I'd like that cake. Or like,
but that's, you know, human, like, and that's normal. And again, yeah. I think it's, as you're younger, I think it's more, but it still comes to everyone. But there's, I think as you get older, if you allow those things to ferment, then you turn into horrible, bitter old twat.
Yeah, you do. Well, that's because I try to acknowledge it as it's happening. I go like, oh, that's interesting, that thought. And it's not just Jack, like all sorts of other comics and different people who are working lots, you kind of go like, oh, whatever. And I know that people will do it about me for stuff that I've had and whatever, like that is the nature.
Some people look at my career and envy that. So imagine how...
I do. I
imagine those people.
This is an enviable gig. Like, this is really fun. Like, people will envy me, and quite rightly, that I'm a guest on this show.
They should. I've
had a lovely time on it, always. Okay, yeah. So I wish Jack the best of luck.
But it's interesting, and, you know, it's an interesting thing to talk about, because I think I think comedians especially stand-up comedians and solo comedians, you know, you're working, you know, you're the product and you're fighting for the position, and there's a lot of competition. So
yeah.
It's inevitable you're going to feel like that.
Yeah, of course.
But also you feel like
a basic bitch when you do it, though, don't you?
But if you've succeeded to the level you have, that's sort of also incredible. So it's just it's a flipping your mindset over.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other day I was sitting with my kids, they're watching Noddy Toy Detective together, and my dog was resting its face on my shoulder, and I thought, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, that, so that you sort of your priorities change a little bit, and then once you're happier, then it doesn't really matter about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things that the really successful comedians do are really shit.
Yeah.
You sort of get into this position and you end up doing...
horrible stuff.
Well, you know, things that aren't as creatively interesting as...
Yeah.
Say, someone like Simon Munnery, who's never really had any of the success he deserves,
oh,
is doing much more
hell,
interesting
yeah.
comedy than someone, you know, who might be at the same sort of, you know, Stuart Lee. Yeah. So it's... So, you know, it's all about getting it in perspective. But, yeah, it's normal to feel like that.
I love you, Richard.
Thank you, and you should. Very wise. And also, you're doing about 100 amazing things at the moment, and new things. You're doing the sewing bee.
That's a lot of fun. And so your heckler in the audience, yes. This woman here, is the judge on the sewing bee.
You've done
She's
quite
been
well.
She's very good, actually.
You've done quite well.
She's been very good. This is Esme Young, who is like an extraordinary... She's a fashion lecturer.
Fashion thing.
At Central St Martin's. She's had an incredible life, and she's a judge on the Great British Sewing Bee. She's also a bloody pisshead, aren't you, Esme? and we went on the piss today. We had a press day for it.
I said to him, I'm going to harangue you, and I zip my lip.
You've been very good, Esme.
She's been very good, and... I've brought it on myself now by acknowledging that she's here.
Yeah, I think we've only got about 10, 15 minutes to go, so, you know, you can...
Yeah, we've had a lovely day, haven't we? Haven't we had a lovely day?
Really cool day.
Yes.
You've been out getting drunk.
We've been out getting drunk.
With the judge of the sewing bee. I mean, this is the Daily Express are going to be all over this. He's a very good guy.
Oh, yeah. I like hanging out with you, Esme, but there's a time and a place. I love you, Esme. I'm now hosting that show. Claudia Winkleman did it, but decided not to for whatever reason. So now I'm doing it, and very grateful for that, because it's been really fun. We filmed it in the summer, and it's a really lovely show. It's made by the same people that make Bake Off, and it's got all that like lovely fluffiness about it. And yeah,
are you into sewing?
No way, no.
No.
I don't know anything about sewing.
Yeah, well, guess what? It's good. It's a good job, isn't it, Esme? Because, you know, otherwise you'd just be a drunk woman saying, I don't know. Looks all right. I can do that.
This will go out when? Like, just after Christmas?
Yeah.
That's exactly when they want the press to be here. This is perfect. Well, this is great. Joe and Esme trashed on Richard Herring.
I feel like you're a bad influence, Joe, on the people you hang around with. I don't think Esme wouldn't have got drunk like this on her own without Joe, would
No,
you?
That's true. She's teetotal.
Come on.
So, yeah, exactly.
No, she's...
I'm rock and roll.
She is rock and roll. Honestly, the life that...
rock and roll. I've been hanging out, partying, since I was 17.
Yeah.
And she's 17 next year? She's been hanging... rock and roll for 53 years. Yeah. And that's what happened. Honestly, it's a really fun, lovely show. And I'm not sure either me or Esme will be back on it. But we had a nice time, didn't we? Yeah. And then the thing that I'm really excited about, which will probably be starting if this goes out after Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Have you had a lovely time? Happy New Year. Is a Channel 4 show that is a consumer show.
Oh,
so
yes,
it's sort of kind of like Watchdog,
yeah,
but with jokes.
Yes.
So like my take on... Because Watchdog is a great show and I approve of it, but it's a bit dry, isn't it? And so we're going to sort of do left field approaches to things. So we did a pilot and we actually did a really fun thing with... I can't say the name of the company, can I? It's sort of like... It's sort of like a bed and breakfast, but it exists not in the water or on the land.
Okay.
You got it?
I think I've got it, yeah. I think.
We discovered that allegedly, God, like, I have to be so careful and this might have to get cut before I... Like, I'll tell you in the room. We discovered that they were listing, allowing people to list stuff on their platform that they didn't... Nobody, the owners didn't approve of. So we found things like Ellie Goulding's house was listed on this platform and she didn't approve of that. Like, they'd just taken the pictures off an estate agents and they were saying that, whatever. And their public statement was like, oh, we've got an algorithm and it's fine. Like, you know, people, we can't stop it entirely, but we stop most of it. But there's loads of properties on that platform that are being advertised to people and they're paying on... So the rule is that they say, if you pay on our platform, you're fine, but if you get sort of directed off, then they don't have anything to do with it.
Okay.
But that happens so often that you get directed off and you pay with Western Union or PayPal or whatever, and then they just disappear. And so they were allowing that to happen loads. And so they didn't stop it. We went to them and we said, this is, you've got to find some way of stopping this, and they just were like, no, whatever, this is our policy. So what we did is we listed their office on their platform and we sent in people there for a sex party, there for like people there for a satanic ritual, and we claimed they had a cat in a box they were going to sacrifice. I went and doorstepped them and like they didn't let me into the office. I was like, would you like a glacier mint? That was my like catchphrase, would you like a glacier mint? And we got loads of money back for one of the cases. Right. So if we get it right, it could be fucking brilliant, but it's one of those tricky things because legally, like, I have to be so careful what I say even just now. Like, you have to be really careful, sure, what you say about stuff because they'll try and sue you and ruin your life. But my whole vibe is like, let's fuck these pricks up.
Well, it's that's what you do. That's
well, you won't have a job next year.
That's what you do in the book, and that's, you know, it is taking that thing, and that's what's interesting, I think, about social media is that you're able to, you know, whoever you are, I think you're able to, if you are critical of a firm, they're
they don't like
on
it, do they?
Because they know it, whoever you are, you can be straight onto it, and it gets disseminated, and then they're in trouble, you know. So
yeah,
it's great that you think of those imaginative ways of showing up the kind of hypocrisy and things, which is what you've been doing in the book. And
yeah, well, it's a series of that basically.
Yeah.
And I really want to get sued because I think it'd be really good publicity, and I don't even mind if I go to jail because I think it'd be really like great. I think fun.
What kind
like
of
a really sexy jail where I get fucked all night long?
I don't think they let you choose, Esme. I don't think that's how that prison
is
works.
That an option?
What do you want to go? Do you want to go to the horrible jail?
Yeah.
Or the sex jail? I guess the nice doing crosswords and jigsaws jail. Oh. Oh, that's good to know. Good to have the choice. I think the thing with being sued is you just lose all your money and possessions, really, rather than getting, which is probably not as much fun.
I don't have a family or anything like.
No.
I haven't been sued. No, I can't believe it.
Well, there you are.
And I'm really rude about everyone. You're a fucking bitch, Esme, for a start.
When you watch Showing Me, it's such a lovely show, and Esme is such a like lovely, like warm, lovely. But she's just trash tonight. It's brilliant. We might get sued by the BBC. I'm not sure whether we're like in breach of contract by just being out on the lash together, and like, we should say who wins the show. Fuck it. We know, don't we? We know.
You might get sued by Cotton. That would be a Cotton itself may rebel against you. I'm going to ask another emergency question. I might ask you one, Esme, as well. We'll see how
you
goes.
Should, yeah.
Sure, why not?
We've got a little bit longer.
Have we?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. I'm literally happy to stay here for the rest of my life.
Okay.
But I just want to...
You need a wee.
I wonder fucking why, Esme.
Joe, have you ever sucked on a fisherman's friend, lowercase? Same question to you, Esme.
Now, that's interesting, isn't it? So... Is the subtext of that, have I ever sucked the cock of a fisherman? Or
no, the friend of a fisherman.
But, like, sucked his penis or just any part
anything
of his
could
anatomy?
Be anything. You can take it however you want.
Well, I don't know, actually. I don't know because... Right, so I define myself as pansexual now, which is a form of bisexuality, which is basically bisexuality, but, like, gender is part of why I think I'm attracted to people, but there's all sorts of other reasons. Mm-hmm. I won't go into too much detail, but I'm sexually attracted to both men and women, but also sort of gender is, like, a fluid thing. So, but I actually, sexually, don't really engage that much with men, and so I've only sucked a few cocks. And so I'm not sure, I've not gone through the list of friends of the people whose cocks I've sucked.
It's still quite a lot of people, even if it's only a few people, the friends of those people.
Yeah. No, I normally go for people without friends. Just to sort of lower the chances of it getting back to me. So inevitably, I probably have sucked a fisherman's friend.
Yeah.
So let's say yes.
Okay, good. I won't ask Esme. No, Esme. You performed on stage here in the early 80s, I understand.
Yes.
Good. What did you do, Esme?
I sang a song on the stage in 1982.
With Glenn Matlock?
Yes.
From the Sex Pistols?
1982. I was dead. I wasn't around.
I was here. I mean, I wasn't here. I was in Cheddar.
But that was filmed for Arena, wasn't it? So it's like, it's available in the archives.
It was filmed for Arena.
So... Somebody can find that, can't they?
I have to say, it was cool.
But it sounds cool.
Cool.
lots of artists.
Yeah.
Andrew Logan, Dougie Fields, did the backdrops for us. And we, oh boy, have fun.
Yeah.
On this stage. And then it was filmed for Arena.
Do tune in and trust the opinion of Esme of the Great British Sewing Bee.
Yeah. Honestly, try and look it up online.
We'll try and find it, Esme, online.
Do.
We will. I'm just telling them what you're saying because they can't all hear you, so I'm just... I'm repeating
I'd be amazed if any of this makes it into the final.
No, this is it. In fact, I'll be amazed if any of our interview makes it. We're just going to pretend. We just had a slightly unusual... Where the guest was sitting in the dark in the audience
she
without a microphone.
Like,
maybe we should do that for all of them.
She wasn't meant to come along tonight, and we just, you know, we had the interview and whatever earlier. We were hanging out. And then she said, I'm going to come to you for this thing and whatever. Yeah. And then I thought she might sit at the back, and then she said, oh, there's space at the front row. Here we are.
I'll ask you a robot. I don't know if the last time you were on, it was still a little while ago, wasn't it? Was I talking about robot sex?
I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago, Did I ask
you about robots?
Well, that's the thing, I get confused because I listen to the podcast, so I'm familiar with it, but I don't know whether at that time...
You're listening, do you pause it and pretend you're answering the questions? And pretend
all the time,
I don't think I ask you this question. If there are ever sex robots, as any right-thinking person hopes, would they be self-cleaning? Or would there be another small robot that would clean the sex robot? Or would there be a person whose job was to clean out the sex robot before the next person used it? Can you think of a worse job than being that?
Esme, let's ask Esme.
I think if you were a robot, it wouldn't be a hard job. If you were human, it might be.
That's true.
You might be if you're a human, which you are. Well, as a man, it's not like wildly difficult, is it? Because you just give it a rinse. But as a woman, I'm not really sure what happens. So then you have to sort of like wait a bit, and things like if you've not used a condom, things like sort of fall out. And oh, actually no, because I'm a top, not a bottom. Whenever I've done gay stuff, so actually you might have to like poo out some jeers, mightn't you? God, actually, when you think about it, it's awful being gay, isn't it? They should be stopped. Perhaps stoned to death. That might be an appropriate response. I think that they... I think they probably should be self... I think there should be some process. Probably,
if they've managed to make a robot that's that human-looking that people would want to have sex with it, they probably worked out the self-cleaning aspect.
Yeah, I think all you need is some sort of, like, sort of jet pump in the kind of abdomen of the sex robot that just sort of, like sprays water into whatever cavity you've like fucked, and then that sort of pushes out the jism and any kind of like hot water as well. Because I'm guessing that like
maybe some soap in there.
Oh God, like, a bit, like how sexy? You're right, lovely.
Very sexy. Is that's how that's the answer. How sexy would it be to have sex with a robot? Very sexy.
Mm.
I don't think so.
Well, Esme, I have to agree. We'll have to agree to differ on this. We'll see.
There's someone who hasn't fucked Jimmy Carr.
I think having sex with a human's got to be better than having sex with a robot.
Well, yeah, but some people, Richard Herring, can't do that.
It's true.
He says he has a wife. I've not heard from Katie since he got married.
All right, I'll ask you this, and then maybe we'll... That's good.
Esme and I are going to Soho now,
I imagine. Are you
going to
go?
I think we might have sex, who knows? No, I shouldn't have said that.
Wait till the second... wait till after the series is finished. Wait to make sure.
Do tune in to see if there's a sexual tension there.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you're the 10th sexiest man in the world, according
to...
Yes,
according
to
Attitude magazine,
Attitude magazine.
You've done your research.
I have, so, you know, you've got good taste.
Did you say I'm...
No, you're not the 10th sexiest man, according to Attitude. He is.
Not what I was going to say.
Okay, right.
Am I the sexiest woman?
Are you the sexiest woman? Well, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
We were talking about this, though, before. Like, I think, you know... Esme's, are you 70 now? Or 69?
I'm 70.
70.
Well, I'm 70 next month.
So you're 69.
69.
But like, so, 70 in February, which is not next... Oh, next month, I see you. Actually, that's impressive that she's worked out. She knows that this is going out. This is the thing with Esme, like, there's things going on. You wouldn't think it. But, like, I was saying to her, like, you know, people desexualize older people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Esme is a sexy person. She wants to go about, you know, having a nice life, having sex. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's sort of seen as, like, oh, a bit weird or whatever. But, you know, when we get older... Do you think... So my friend Tommy Corners asked me this. Do you think when you're old, you'll find old people sexy?
Yeah. It's weather. It's whether you feel sexy, I think that's the thing. As you get older, maybe that can... So it's up. Some people do, Esme, and when I'm 70, I'm going to have a nice rest.
Yeah.
I think it's already started, to be fair. Yeah. 51.
I can't really be bothered these days. No. I'm 30, I can't be bothered, because it's a lot of effort, isn't it?
Yeah.
30, 40 years? Yeah. Well...
There'll be sex robots by the time you're 70.
There you go. And hopefully self-cleaning.
We'll find out. I'll ask this people, and then we better go. We've had lots of fights.
No, we'll stay.
Okay.
Oh, lovely! We could disco dance.
Yes.
No, what we're going to do is I'm going to put you in an Uber. Let's have a little disco dance of that Toyota Yaris.
Well won't be the first time. Here's what Esme says. I'll ask you the human centipede question, which has not come out very much in this series so far, which you may be aware of as a fan of the show, but is, if you had to be in a human centipede, but they gave you the choice... Have I got the right... Yes, that, I called it the human caterpillar the other day, because as a father, you got to get confused about this. I've been reading The Very Hungry Caterpillar, and then I called it The Human Caterpillar, and that's a different, that's a different story. The human centipede, you're in the middle, but you get to choose. The mad scientist allows you to choose who's a front and who's behind. So you...
So the middle isn't an option.
You're in the middle.
You
choose who's in front of you and who's behind you. Whose anus is stitched to your mouth and whose mouth is stitched to your anus is the essential question. But, you know, it's more charmingly put than that.
Well, based on this evening, Esme is going at the back, isn't she? And then because I love you so much.
Yeah. You don't want me at the front, honestly. Especially not today.
What have you had?
I had cauliflower soup for lunch.
I reckon I'd get some sustenance from that. So, yeah, no, I'd have you and then Esme Young.
Yes.
Judge on the Great British Sewing Bee. Which starts on BBC Two. In a family-friendly fucking slot.
Unfortunately, it's been cancelled due to...
I love that we've done press today for that show, and it's been with, like, Love Sewing magazine and all that, and we've all been like, oh, we just love sewing and all that lovely stuff, and now we've got pissed and come here and be like, I'm going to shove Esme up my fucking ass.
Well, if the sewing magazine asked that question, knowing the questions to ask. Well, look, I don't know if you're still on tour by the time this goes out.
No.
Yes, DVD or
the DVD
download?
And also it's on download, yes. Yeah. We released the DVD because we pitched it to Netflix and they said I didn't have enough of an international reach because most of my show is about Paul Chuckle. Wow. And they were like, we're not sure who Paul Chuckle is. And I tried to explain that he's one of a pair of famous delivery men. And that didn't help them. So, yes, I've released it on a digital disc, and it'll also be on, like iTunes or Sky.
And Paul Chuckle came to see the show the other day.
He did. He's a really integral part of it, and it's a real kind of love letter to him, because I love Paul Chuckle, and his wife, Sue, is a really lovely lady as well. They're just really lovely couple and been really supportive. And he's also piss funny, because he's a comedian, and he's really funny. So, a lot of the show is about him. Some of it's about slagging off Tom Daly. Some of it is about how much trouble I'm in with the Royal Bank of Scotland.
Okay. And that one is the I'm About to Lose Control and I Think Joe Lycett. Is that the name of this?
That's the name of the show.
They're very, very good titles for the shows. I don't care what happens in the shows as long as you can keep coming up with titles.
Yes.
With Joe Lycett in.
Well, you've not
good
come
luck.
To any, so obviously you don't care.
I'll wait for the DVD. I watch them at home in Hertfordshire when I'm not clearing up stones.
No, you're allowed. You're allowed.
So, ladies and gentlemen, please give a massive round of applause to Joe Lycett! We'll be back next week. Come back next week. Esme. How do you like them sky potatoes?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.